You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Right now, though, we are going to go to a piece by Noah Ferguson Dudding. Noah spoke to Christopher Luxon, who is one of the National Party's newest MPs. He's a former high-level CEO running companies including Air New Zealand. He entered politics last year by winning the electric seat of Botany. For a fairly low-level MP, Luxon has had a great deal of attention as someone who has moved from a successful career in the private sector to the National Party. Many comparisons have been drawn to Luxon and former PM John Key. There has even been speculation he could be a future leader of the National Party. Noah spoke to Luxon about what it's like to be a new MP, his role as a spokesperson for iwi development, and his hopes for his own career within the National Party.
Well, for me personally, it's not that different from my old life in the sense of, you know, you're up early and you're working quite late. I used to work at a big global company called Unilever, so I was used to sort of bouncing around the world in any given week. I could be in Argentina at the beginning and Tokyo at the end of the week and back home to London. So I'm quite used to that sort of routine. But basically how it works is that, you know, Monday morning you head out to the electorate office and you're actually seeing constituents, and they come in and we might see, you know, up to 10 constituents, and they will be having a range of issues, whether it's around housing, immigration, all those kinds of issues. And then I end up flying down late last flight to Wellington on Monday evening, and then you're up quite early. I usually get up about 5:30, 5:45 at the latest, sometimes 5. And then I'm always in the office at 7, and then we gear off with caucus meetings, which is when all the, you know, National Party MPs come together and talk about what's happening for the week. And then you're in Parliament really up until 11 o'clock each night, 10 o'clock each night, sometimes 11, depending on what's happening. And that goes over Tuesday, Wednesday, and then Thursday you do the same routine in the morning, but then you're out at 6 o'clock. As you arrive back at the airport, go off and do a rotary meeting, a school prize giving, something else before I head home. And then on Thursday evening, and then Friday, back out in the electorate doing some more constituent clinics. And then you end up seeing, you know, people who might be school teachers or visit a school, you know, go see a local business on a Friday afternoon. And that's always pretty exciting. And then on the weekend, it's really a bunch of events. So, you know, obviously a lot of Chinese New Year events recently, different, you know, school galas, those sorts of things that go on. So there's three or four of those typically each day on the weekend as well. So it's a pretty full-on job, and but my past life was pretty full-on as well. So, you know, for me personally, it's not that big a change to routine, but I think, you know, we've got 42 new MPs out of 120 in Parliament this year, and I think for some of them it is quite a big change.
Moving on a little bit to some of your spokesperson roles, your spokesperson for iwi development, what are the biggest issues in this area that you want to address?
Well, you know, I'm really quite excited about the possibility of what can happen in iwi development. It's an area that, you know, I did a lot of work in and started to do some good partnering with iwi around the country when I was at Air New Zealand, you know, trying to make te reo more mainstream, certainly doing joint ventures with iwi businesses to produce beef suppliers in Air New Zealand, all those kinds of things. But really, look, the key issues that we have is really around firstly just accelerating Māori enterprise so that, you know, if we can get the economics improving in iwi organisations, we can certainly then get the social outcomes starting to improve as a consequence. Working a lot on skills and the workforce, you know, we've got quite a growing cohort of unemployed Māori, and actually how do we support them with really good training programs? Vocational education has to be a major focus. Housing and technology is another thing that I think is a key concern for Māori. You've got much lower home ownership rates. I think across the country it's about 57%. I think from memory for Pākehā, I think for Māori it's about 27%. And Māori are five times more likely to be homeless. So there's a real challenge on the housing front.
So if National was to come to power tomorrow, say, what would be three things you would do to help iwi development, three tangible things?
Well, I think the first thing we would do is, and it's sort of, there's quite a lot to it, which is really this idea of taking what we call social investment. And saying, look, if you're going to really, because I mean, here's the deal, right? I mean, any society around the world is really trying to wrestle with a few things. It's trying to make sure that you build a society where hard work is rewarded, where people can be highly innovative and they can reduce their dependence on the state. On the other hand, what you've got to make sure is that there is a really big opportunity for social mobility, people being able to move up and through society, and also making sure that we've got a really good safety net in place. You can't just make it all about safety net, and you can't make it all about, you know, just everyone just, you know, hard work and self as a result. So I think we've really got to find ways in which we can really identify the children, the families and neighbourhoods that we need to really target with very specific help. And, you know, what you start to find is the data, and that requires us to build a really good sense of what we call data and analytics about identifying where we see kids falling behind at school that might have had interactions with the criminal justice system, the families are doing it really tough, and identifying those individuals almost. And the community organisations can help us because they see a lot of these issues. And actually being able to surge those families with better support in order for them to be able to, whether it's progress educationally, progress in a health-wise, have a greater chance of finishing high school, less chance to go into prisons, less chance to get a greater chance to get better jobs, et cetera, and to take control of their lives and be able to move ahead. So that in itself is a really big thought. And the danger is, you know, to be honest, you know, we've got a fees-free program for university students, which is great. But there are a lot of university students who don't need that money, but that money could be better targeted doing other things and making a big difference to the people who need it the most in New Zealand. So I think that's really a big, big focus for us as we would go forward from there.
Thinking about politics more generally in New Zealand, so National, I think it's fair to say, suffered a pretty big loss last year.
Yeah.
How is the party, what path do you think the party should take from here? How should they change?
Yeah, look, there's three things there, and you're dead right. We got absolutely beaten and smashed in the last election, and you're being very polite about it. And really, you know, coming in from the outside and looking at it, there's sort of three things we need to do. The first is we need to play together better as a team, and I think that's happening, you know, since the election. You know, we don't need different personalities and egos all having, you know, fighting with each other. We actually need to be one team working together on a common goal. And that's starting to happen, and that's quite exciting to see. The second thing is there's some modernisation of our party, and there's a big review underway around that. And that's quite normal, right? If you think about, you know, BFM or you think about Air New Zealand, those organisations keep evolving and keep changing from what they were 5 years ago or 10 years ago. So it's very natural, but it's very important it continues to evolve. And thirdly, I'd say there isn't anything wrong with our centre-right politics, but we need to find a way to make it relevant and to get the messaging relevant to people. And, you know, that needs to be forward-looking, positive, optimistic. You know, we care about people, we solve problems, and most importantly, we get things done. And, you know, that for me personally is one of the reasons why I've come to politics, because I've worked closely with both governments in the past, really closely. I used to chair Jacinda Ardern's Business Advisory Council, and worked closely with this Labor government. Before that, I worked closely with John Key and Bill English and tourism and different business initiatives as well. And so I've seen up, you know, both sides close up. And really what we've got to be able to do is get things done for people. People want us to solve problems. And that's why I want to come to politics as well. So I think, you know, we know those are the sort of the challenges the National Party has. It's, you know, play as a team, modernise the party and make sure our messaging is relevant.
And one final question. Since you entered politics, there has been a lot of speculation that you may be a front runner for the next National Party leader, or at least a leader at some point in the future. Do you have a desire to be leader of the National Party at some point?
Well, look, yeah, I've read that as well, but I can tell you from my point of view, if you're sitting in my shoes, you know, I've tried to explain the motivation for why I want to come to politics, which is I think we need people coming from all walks of life into political life. From my point of view, it's really just taking it day by day, and that's how I've managed my career thus far, is just actually just taking each step as it comes. And for me, the first thing, as I said, I've just got a lot to learn, and I'm in year nine. There's a lot of you know, more experienced prefects around me, and I'm just learning from everybody, and that's really my focus, isn't it?
Do you think you'll be in politics for a while? I know maybe it's not fair, but obviously the John Key comparisons are everywhere, and he sort of came in, did what he wanted to do and left. Is that the sort of politician you would like to be?
From my point of view, genuinely so. I'm coming at this saying, look, yes, I could go off and do another big corporate job in New Zealand or anywhere in the world, but I'm choosing to do this because I think the country is really important, and I want to bring the skills, abilities and experiences that I've got, as I know other new MPs are doing as well. So for me, it's really a conscious choice to say, I love New Zealand. I think it's a great country, and I've been a champion and advocate all around the world for it. And now I want to make sure that we actually realise those opportunities and actually deal with the challenges that we've got. And I'm going to give it my best, and I'm going to wake up every morning doing 24/7, doing everything I can. So for me, you know, it's a really conscious decision. It's a big change, but it's and what you've got to do when you make a change like that is you start from the beginning, you build your knowledge, you learn, you master the tasks, and you become hopefully good at what you do. Yeah, exactly. And so I can't tell you what's going to happen in the future. All I can tell you is where the motivation and where the commitment's coming from. Yeah, that's all I can tell you really at this point, is just like, you know, I'm absolutely loving the job. I think it's a really great privilege to be able to represent people in a local electorate like I'm trying to do. I think you have huge respect for the institution of Parliament. There's some odd behaviour and odd things that happen in that place, no doubt about it, but just engage as citizens in our democracy, because it's a really valuable thing, and we can never ever take it for granted, as we've seen in recent months.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.